Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
536, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. We got a lot of rain falling up here in Hanover at the moment, and at the same time, we've got bright sunshine. So maybe it is passing through. We do have those flood warnings, those flood watches, really throughout all of central Virginia. And as you heard, the forecast as we move forward, heavy thunderstorms throughout the course of the night, and flooding is a distinct possibility. So bear that all in mind. I would urge you, tomorrow morning when you get up and you're headed out, make sure you tune in to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. That starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And with Rich and Gary Hess and Dan, you'll be able to get all the information you need so that you can navigate whatever happens to be out there as an obstacle in the morning. Couple of decisions that have come down recently from the Supreme Court would seem to indicate, yes, President Trump is the president of the United States, has the right to do certain things, and yet still at the local district federal court level, there are some of these folks who seem to think they were elected president. So what gives? I don't know. It's a legal issue, so that means I call in the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno joins us this afternoon. Counselor, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, how are you, sir? It's always a pleasure.
I am doing well. I am just a little confused, though, because it wasn't more than, what, a week or two ago that the Supreme said, hey, district court judges, cut this garbage out. I mean, they said it nicer than that in legalese, but that's what they said, I thought. And now, are we right back to it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because there was a time not that long ago that judges were proud and protective of their own record and their reputation and would not want to get overturned on appeal because it wouldn't look good, as if they're making bad rulings. They don't seem to care so much anymore. I kind of feel like they like their 15 minutes of fame. And they'll make these rulings knowing full well they will get overturned at either the appeals court level or at the Supreme Court, and they don't care. So we're seeing very, very aggressive district court judges. And their rulings are, I'd say, really pushing the envelope in two areas. One is the nationwide injunctions, which we've talked about, which the Supreme Court has largely slapped down, which is basically saying, I don't care who's in front of me, who are the actual parties to the litigation. I am making a ruling for all parties affected by a particular situation, whatever it is. The Supreme Court slapped that down and said, no, wait a minute. The whole purpose of having district judges in 94 different districts is that their jurisdiction is applicable in that district, not everywhere. So they kind of slapped that down from a process perspective. The other part where they're really being aggressive is asserting themselves over the president and the executive branch and really kind of reaching in there and saying, we, the district judges, know better than the president how to run the executive branch, even though the Constitution is very clear that the president is the chief executive of the country. He has the power to run the executive branch as he sees fit within the boundaries of the law, of course, sure. But judges don't get to reach in there and say how he staffs things, who he staffs with, what resources he needs to commit to, what his priorities should be. That's basically what's been happening here.
Well, you talk about staffing, and he gets to run the executive branch as he sees fit. That ties into this other Supreme Court decision, which says the Department of Education can have a de-staffing, if you will, the president, the secretary of education, decide how to staff it, allowing the president to move forward with layoffs, correct?
Correct. So if think of it in terms of a business context, right? A CEO of a company should be able to pick his or her own general counsel, chief financial officer, chief of staff, right? Personal assistant, vice presidents of different business divisions, right? We would never think anything strange of that, right? Of course, the person who's been put in charge of a company should be able to run the company with the people and the resources that he or she chooses. Yeah. It's really not much different for the president, right? I mean, there are certain civil service protections, and there are protections of, you know, among people that, for reasons they can or cannot be terminated or whatnot. But for the most part, the president should be able to choose the appointees and the civil servants that he or she wants. Right. And if it means prioritizing certain things over others, or if it means that the president feels a particular agency or department is overstaffed and he can do things more efficiently with fewer people to save money for the taxpayer, that should be permitted. And so the idea that one argument was, well, Congress budgeted a certain amount. So if Congress gives, I don't know, 1,000 positions authorized for this department, the president has to fill all 1,000 positions. And the Supreme Court said, no, that doesn't work that way. That's the maximum the president can staff, but it doesn't mean that he has to fill those or has to keep them filled with people he doesn't want. Okay. So that's part of the argument here. Another part is just basically saying, you know, the president should not have to keep people on that he feels are undermining his agenda or his priorities. Right. And so, again, keeping civil service protections in place, there are certain parameters that have to be followed in terms of reducing people or terminating people. But as long as those are followed and things aren't done illegally, you can choose who you want or don't want in a particular department. So it sounds like common sense, both for the private sector and the government, but it took the Supreme Court to step in and say, hey, again, local judges, you are not empowered to tell the president how to run his executive branch.
There was dissent, though, if I recall. Joe Moreno is joining us, a former federal prosecutor, very, very, very well-respected attorney in private practice now. But the dissent, if I recall, was Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that, well, Congress created the department, so therefore the executive can't eliminate it or can't have firings, or am I misunderstanding that?
No, that's a point, and that's a question that still has not been clearly answered. So on the one hand, you have something like the State Department, right, where the Supreme Court said, yes, okay to go ahead and reduce headcount at the State Department. Department of Education, because it was created by Congress in 1979, the president arguably can't just shut it down. I think that would probably take an act of Congress to just eliminate it off the books. But the Supreme Court did, again, enforce the argument that the president is the Secretary of Education is a cabinet officer that reports to the president. So all of the Department of Education falls within the authority of the president. And so therefore, once again, he can staff it as much or as few people and to what degree of which people he wants to fill that department. So there's still an open question about whether he can kind of cut it to the bone. But he's not required to maintain a certain headcount or follow a certain mission or kind of keep some structure in place if he feels it's not consistent with his priorities.
Wow. The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's odd because there's some of us of an age, Joe. I remember the predecessor, Health, Education, and Welfare. And so it just seemed to me this is just a successor agency on that side, Health and Human Service successor agency on that side. So if there was some power that did that, then maybe it's something else. But are we done now with decisions from the Supreme Court? Because I know the first Monday in October is what? That's when everything starts, gets fired up. So is this it? We've heard everything?
Well, this is it for this term. So now there's the emergency docket. So there's always a justice on duty. Okay. So if there are emergency cases, that's always available 24/7 all year long. Okay. And so we have seen cases that thankfully the Supreme Court has been willing to hear on the emergency docket because they're so egregious. And if you let it run its normal course, it could take years. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a very good thing that the court has come in and taken some of these cases very quickly. Because to show how premature some of these early district judge rulings were, whether it was Education Department, State Department, or whatever, there had not even been any terminations that occurred. It was simply the idea that the president wanted to reduce possibly the workforce in these departments that a judge said, nope, can't do it, almost anticipating something illegal would come of it. So what the court has said, look, you don't have a license, Mr. President, to do illegal things, but we're not going to take a case unless there's a real person who's been affected, who has a real argument that for whatever reason, he or she feels they have been treated in an illegal manner. Then we'll hear that case. But we're not going to allow a judge to put a freeze on all executive actions because of the possibility that something illegal could take place. And so they've solidified to say we need real people and we need a real legal argument that something actually happened, not a hypothetical or theoretical thing. So the long way of saying there will be cases, there's no doubt there will be lawsuits, but at least the court has provided some structure to say we don't want to see these empty nationwide injunctions made with basically no legal argument other than the potential of a legal argument in the future.
I love it. Hey, Joe, on the way out here, can you remind everybody where they go to read some of your latest columns and articles online?
Hey, I'm on The Spectator. I'm on YouTube. I don't post a lot on X. I know I got to get on that. But yeah. I really try to get on Fox and Newsmax as best I can, and the occasional CNN and BBC invitation as well.
Well, you deserve all of those, and I will make sure we've got all those links up, and I say it each time you're here, because I mean it each time you're here. I'm grateful to you for making time for us.
Jeff, thank you, sir. It's always an honor.
Thank you, my friend. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.